hand, please. Good to see all your faces out there. A smile, occasional smile is nice. I see a few out there. Proverbs chapter 10, Ephesians chapter 1. I want to bring a message today about the spiritual versus the physical. Spiritual versus the physical. Brennan, you made it back. I'm glad you made it. You have a good week? Amen. Brennan's been gone all week. Just saw his smiling face come in the room and sit down. I said that I gave a little introduction during Sunday school. Some of you heard it, some of you didn't. That's fine. I'm not going to give it again. Don't have time for that. Got too much to cover here this morning. But we are living in a physical world. And we're trying to insert some spiritual things within that physical world. And the problem that we come into so often, even as Christians, born again, children of God, is that the physical outweighs the spiritual. The physical things seem to take precedent over the spiritual things. Physical calamities, physical health, physical things that we own and have, and houses and yards and trucks and cars and boats and campers and four-wheelers and all these things that we have, sometimes takes precedent over the spiritual things that we need to have in our life. I know, because I'm a human just like you. I struggle with the same things that you struggle with. I am no different than anybody else in this room. I'm nobody more special than anybody. I don't have any more power than you have, except we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can all have that power. We struggle today, folks. Just be honest. We struggle. Between the two forces, we have the force of the physical and we have the force of the spiritual. As a child of God, we have the Holy Spirit living within us, and that Holy Spirit is constantly pulling us and driving us and motivating us to do spiritual things, not the physical things. Holy Spirit's job is to draw us spiritually. That's it. The rest of the physical part, he's not involved in all of that. That spiritual should be driving us to do the right things physically. I've said that before. The spirit is supposed to tell the soul what to do, and the soul is supposed to tell our bodies what to do. And that's the Holy Spirit's job. The problem is so often in our lives is our physical appetites and our fleshly desires is telling our soul what to do, and then it shuts out the Spirit of God. And you can shut the Spirit of God out. You can quench the Spirit. Now, you can't remove the Spirit of God from your spirit. Thank God for that. That's why we can't lose our salvation. Hallelujah for that. But we can turn the Spirit of God way down in our life that we can barely hear Him. And that's what we have to be really, really careful about. That's what I want to get into today a little bit, is the spiritual versus the physical. Everybody struggles with different things differently. Your struggles may not be mine and vice versa. But anyway, let's take a look at some passages of Scripture here. Ephesians chapter 1 and Proverbs 10. When you find both of those and you got them both in your grips, stand please. I'm going to read just not a lot. Verses 1 through 6 in Ephesians, and then we're going to go over and read one verse out of Proverbs. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. I'll read it. You don't have to read out loud. Just follow along, please. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 is what I really want us to focus on. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all, what? Spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us acceptable, or accepted in the Beloved. Now look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 10. Well, 10 has a 1 in it. Proverbs chapter 1, 0. That's good. See how I did that? Right here, folks. I don't know. Proverbs 10, thank you, in verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. Father, we thank You that we can gather together here this morning. Father, I'm asking, I'm pleading with You for the power of the Holy Spirit to be upon me and upon every one of us that's here. Help us, Lord, again today to focus on the spiritual and help us to realize that the spiritual is far more important than the physical. Help us, Lord, when we leave here today, that we will leave with this thought in mind and not leave it in our chair here, not leave it in the church building. Father, I pray that You would just move upon us and bless us today in a great and mighty way. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. I wonder what the proverb writer meant by that when he said, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. Most things that we would look at in the physical realm, there's sorrow mixed in with that. And so when I read that proverb over there, I realize, I believe, it's a spiritual blessing that the Lord has given us. These spiritual blessings, again, should far outweigh the physical, to the point where we are extremely blessed no matter what's going on in our life. And so often what we do is we look at the physical problems that we have, the physical infirmities, the sicknesses, the cancers, the financial dilemmas in our life, and the lack of the things that we want in our life. And we sit around and we focus on those and we worry about, do you know that you worry about the physical and you don't worry about the spiritual? Did you ever notice that? We worry about the physical. We worry about things. 80% of our worries, there's nothing you can do about it anyway. And we sit around and we worry about that 80% of stuff that there's nothing you can do about it. And you worry about it, and you worry about it, and you get all upset, and you get full of anxiety, and you don't know what you're going to do in life, and everything bothers you. You're worried about the physical things that one of these days, all the physical is going to be gone anyway. It's going to be gone. The Lord Jesus Christ is returning one of these days. I preached that last Sunday. If you were here, you heard that message. He's coming back one of these days soon. And He's going to literally change all of the physical in this world to a spiritual application. The millennial reign of Christ is a spiritual world that we're going to be living in during that time, during that 1,000-year millennial reign. And He's going to change the face of the earth. And we're going to see things differently. The physical is going to be really of no value to us much. It's the spiritual that will really matter to us. When we get to heaven someday, it's not going to be the physical. It's going to be the spiritual. For all eternity, the spiritual will far outweigh any physical problems that you're going through right now. We know that there's going to be no more death, no more pain, no more crying, no more suffering, none of those things in heaven. And yet those are the things that bother us the most today in our life. We're so concerned about all of this stuff going on around us. We're concerned about the upcoming election next year. We're concerned about Russia and China. Oh, they're going to take over the world. And oh, they're going to take over the United States. Yeah, maybe. Why worry about it? I have a Lord and Savior that loves me and cares about me, and He's going to help me through anything that we're going to go through. But Pastor, I'm in fairly good health, but tomorrow I could get whatever anybody else has. I could be dead within 3 months. I had a pastor friend that got, you know who he was. He got pancreatic cancer in about 3 months, he was gone. He was a healthy man. He was a good man, great family, just loved the Lord, involved in all kinds of ministries and was pastoring churches, various churches. And he gets pancreatic cancer at a young age. How old was he? 66 years old. And he was gone in 3 months. You have no clue. We have no idea. We would look at somebody like that or our previous former missionary, Brother Robinson, the age of 56, gets lung cancer. Didn't smoke, but got lung cancer. and was dead within 6 months of his diagnosis. 6 months. From June to, well, early January, he died. Bonnie helped take care of him in the hospital there at the VA. You just don't know. And we would scratch our heads and say, God, why? Why would you do that to somebody? Death is no respecter of persons. It comes at all ages. We would like to, live to be 120, probably. I don't know. Maybe you wouldn't. But we would like to live as long and as healthy as we can, right? I mean, isn't that the goal of America today? Is how can I live longer and how can I be more healthy? And so you buy and take all these things and drink all this stuff and to try to be as healthy, and you get out there and you walk and you jog and you exercise, you join the gym, and, well, maybe not you or me, but we try to do these things to be more healthy. Because we want to live longer and we want to be more healthy. We want to feel better. Everybody wants to feel better. How can I feel better? And so you go to the doctor and the doctor prescribes you a pill to make you feel better. This will make you feel better. This little tiny pill will take all your problems away. Just take this once a day and your problems are gone. And you'll feel better. Your anxiety is gone. Your problems are gone. No more worries. Just pop a pill. That's what the doctors are telling us today. But you pop the pill and you realize you still got some issues. You still got some problems. See, we're so focused on the material or the physical that we don't even think about the spiritual things. The Bible tells us in verse 3 of Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all, A-L-L, spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. Now, how many human senses do we have? Here's a test. How many human senses do we have? I read there's up to 33 different senses that some people have. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just Google it. Google it. I thought we had 5, and there's up to 33. I think we have 5. I read an article about there were 7. But some of these things, I read the words and I can't even understand what they're saying. So I don't know what. I know that I have 5 senses. That's it. That's all I got. Okay? Maybe you've got more, but I've got 5. Touch, sight, smell, taste, and hearing. That is what they call the 5 classical senses. Now, if you've got more, if you've got this ability to do other things, well, have at it. Go ahead and do it. But that's the 5 classical senses that we all have, right? Think about that. That's the 5 basic physical senses that humans have. Did you know that when you got saved, you got 5 spiritual senses? Did you know that? Anybody know that? You got 5. I'm going to give those 5 spiritual senses to you. Would you like to hear the 5 spiritual senses? Well, I'm going to give them to, whether you want to hear them or not, I'm going to give them to you anyway. But we look at Mark chapter 3. When you became a child of God, you got at least, and maybe more, but you got at least 5 spiritual senses that goes along with your physical senses, but they're spiritual and they're not physical. Mark chapter 3, look at verse 10. Write that verse down if you don't know what these are. Mark chapter 3, verse 10. Mark chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, for he had healed many insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him as many as had plagues. Listen, how many times was Jesus touched and they were healed? Many times. Many times they'd come up and just touch the hem of his garment. Just if I could just touch the hem of his garment, they were healed. The woman came up behind him that had the infirmity for, I forget how many, 12 or 18 years. And all she did was she touched the hem of his garment and virtue went through her, out of Jesus, into her, and she was healed. That wasn't just a physical touch. It was a spiritual touch. Because when you touch Jesus Christ, you got far more than something physical. Even though she was healed physically, she wasn't only healed physically, she was healed what? Spiritually. And so just that touch, that's a sense that we have when we get saved, when we become a child of God, we have a sense of a spiritual touch in us. Let me look at that. How about the sight? Look at John chapter 3. John 3, you know these verses. John 3 and John 9, but John 3. Jesus says these words in John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom of God. Let me ask you a question here. Have you ever physically seen the kingdom of God? You can't see this. You can't physically, with your physical eyeballs, the two that you got, you cannot see the kingdom of God. But spiritually, when you get saved, you know what you get a whole new set of? You get a whole new set of eyeballs. Or you get a whole new set of glasses. They're a spiritual pair of glasses. That when you read God's Word, you understand what you're reading. You couldn't understand the Bible before you got saved. You had a hard time with that. You'd read it and say, I just don't understand. I've had people come up to me and say, I just can't understand the Bible, Pastor. I can't understand a King James Bible. It's so hard to understand. Well, there's a couple problems there. Number one, maybe you're not saved. Number two, you're just reading it for the very first time and it's all foreign to you. That could be. You could be saved, but just you've never been in it, you've never read it, and it's foreign, and you're just getting into it. Well, listen, if you're just getting into your Bible, you're gonna be astounded at what you're reading. I mean, things are going to jump off the page. Wow, I never saw that before. You got to just read it again and read it again and read it again and read it again. You just got to keep reading. You read it through once, you're not done. Okay, I've told you this before. At the end of my Bible, I've crossed off the words "the end." Took them right off the Bible. because that's not part of the manuscript. The end. I scratched it right out in my Bible because you go back to Genesis 1:1 and you just keep on reading, right? You get to Revelation 22:21. The period there, or what is a period or question? It's a period. You just go back to Genesis 1. You just keep on reading until the day you go to heaven. You don't stop reading. You're going to learn a lot when you keep doing that. But you got a whole different set of eyeballs when you got saved. They're spiritual eyes. That's what Jesus said, except a man be born again. He can't see the kingdom of God. But now you and I can see the kingdom of God. Is the kingdom of God physical? No, it's a spiritual kingdom. Look at John 9, the man that was blind, and Jesus healed him. Look what he says. Now, I know this was a physical healing. Jesus gave him that sight. He was born blind. He never seen anything in his life, and Jesus heals him. But I'll tell you what, when you read this chapter, you realize the man didn't just get a physical healing. He got a spiritual healing also. Because you can see a lot of spiritual truths this man is bringing out. But he says in verse 25 of John 9, he answered and said, Wherefore he be a sinner or no, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I was blind at one time in my life before I got saved. I was blind to spiritual things. I didn't understand spiritual things. You didn't either. You were completely blinded. And what blinded you was the material was more important to you than spiritual. You got saved and all of a sudden something strange happened in your life. Now, all of a sudden, things that really matter to you are spiritual. You didn't want to read the Bible before you got saved. But now you want to read the Bible, don't you? Nod your head up. This is yes here in New York. Yep. This is what we say. Yes, we say yes. Now you want to read your Bible. Now you want to pray. Now you want to come to church. Now you want to witness to people. Now you want to give. A little tiny nod there. Now you want to do things spiritual. Because now you're spiritual. You're a spiritual entity now. You're a spiritual person now. You're not just a physical being walking around breathing. I think I'm alive. That's the way some people are today. They're physically alive, but spiritually they're dead. They're dead people walking. That's all they are. You gotta wake up because of the spiritual rebirth that you get. When you get born again, you get a whole different life. You're being born again, you get a whole new, it's a life. It's a spiritual life. Not a physical, it's a spiritual when you get born again. Your first birth was a physical birth, right? Mama had you. You were born, whatever, whenever that was. You were born a boy or girl. And you were given that birth, and you're now a person. But when you got born again, you got a spiritual world that has opened up to you that you've never experienced before. And I'll tell you, it's a good world. Spiritual world's a good world. It's not without fights and attacks and things, but we've got a spiritual thing now. We can see. We got a spiritual sense. Again, touch, sight. How about Philippians 4:18? How about smell? Smell, preacher, you're pushing it now. Well, let me give you a verse on it. You got a new smeller when you got saved. Did you know that? You got new touch, you got new sight, you got a new smeller. It's called a nose, but we're going to call it a smeller. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 18. Paul, of course, is writing his prayer letter to the church of Philippi. He says this in Philippians 4:18, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor," what? "Of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." You got a new smeller when you got saved. Your whole sniffer now is different. That's what Paul, isn't that what Paul was saying? The offering that they came to him, to Paul, he said, that was a sweet savor. Boy, that was a sweet smell. You know, when you and I pray, it's a sweet savor to God Almighty. God has a sniffer. God has a smeller. But God's smeller is different than ours. We have a physical nose, but God has a nose that He can smell. But what He smells that sweet savor of our prayers when we pray. See, God is all spiritual. God is not physical. God is spiritual. And when you pray, that is a sweet savor to God. But you know, when people do things for you, and when we send our missionary checks off to those missionaries, do you know that that's a sweet savor to them? You know that they've been able, some missionaries, since I've been here 33 years, we have not missed a missions payment in the last, as far as I know, last 33 years. We don't miss missionary payments. We don't miss missionary payments. They are paid every single month without fail. We don't get in a, you know, many, many years ago, we were in financial straits, yes. But we prayed and we asked God still. We knew that that was something spiritual that we had to do, and we did it anyway. And God has blessed over the years, blessed the faithfulness over the years of just being faithful to the missionaries and taking care of them. So many have come back to me personally and even to the church when they're behind this pulpit and thanked our church for being faithful over the years. Not missing. And so we got a new smeller when we got saved. It was a spiritual thing, but now we can smell things differently. Look at Psalm 119. How about our taste? You know this verse probably. Psalm 119. Look at verse 103. Psalm 119, 103. These are our spiritual senses that we have. The touch, the sight, the smell, and now the taste. Psalm 119, verse 103, the Bible says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Now, listen, you know this. You know, you do not every morning for breakfast eat your Bible. How many of you do this every morning? You don't do that. You don't physically eat your Bible. You read it. And when you read it, it's having breakfast spiritually. Okay? So when you read the Bible says, "How sweet are the words of my mouth, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." So when you read the Bible, you're tasting things that you've never tasted before. How many of you like food? Raise your hand. Some of you don't? Okay. Most of us do. Most of us like to eat certain things. We all have a favorite dish, a favorite food, right? Right? We enjoy food. God blessed us with taste buds. Amen. So good to taste food. Food's not boring. Well, maybe it could be. But most of the foods that we eat are good tasting food. And you eat most every day. You might miss a day here or there if you're fasting or whatever, But when you and I sit down and read the Bible, this is a whole different taste. It's not, you know, eating something physically. You're eating something from God's Word that's sweet to the taste. It's sweet. You enjoy that. Look at 34:8. Psalm 34, verse 8. 34, verse 8 goes along with this sense of taste. Bear with me. I haven't gotten to the message yet. I love it. Oh, no. You ought to know me by... I do this. This is a long introduction, and we'll get to the message here eventually. If not this morning, we'll attempt to get it in there tonight somewhere along the line. I don't know. But look at 34:8. Psalm 34:8. The Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." Oh, taste and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How do you do that? I'm not eating upon God, right? You don't eat God. You don't eat the Lord. But when you read about His goodness to you, it's like eating a wonderful meal. It's a spiritual taste that you're tasting. See where I'm going with all of this? This is the spiritual things that we're blessed with. We have five human senses, but we also have five spiritual senses. And then how about the last one? Hearing. Romans 10:17. You know that verse, don't you? Romans 10:17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Many of you could quote it by memory. But if you can't, we'll look at it. It says in Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Did you notice how many of those senses, spiritual senses, are tied with the Bible? Quite a few. Quite a few of them are tied with the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But now that you're saved, you have a spiritual hearing you didn't have before. You had a whole different... You have a spiritual touch that you didn't have before. You have a spiritual eyesight you didn't have before. You got a spiritual sniffer you didn't have before. You got a spiritual taste that you didn't have before. And you got spiritual hearing that you didn't have before. You see that? It's spiritual. What's more important, the physical or the spiritual? Well, I think the spiritual is more important than the physical. Let me ask you a question, and we'll get into the message here. This is part of the message. What two things, now think, put your thinking caps on. I like to get people to think, because it keeps you awake, number one, and it makes you think, number two. What two things that you know of is both physical and spiritual? Who can raise your hand and tell me? Yes, Bob. Bible? You sure? Okay, Bob says Bible. Anything else? Okay, anything else? I got one more in my brain. Jeff? Well, okay. Dave? I'm sorry? Us? What do you mean by that? All right, all you theologians, just above and beyond what I'm thinking. Try to keep this simple. I thought of two things. You're all right. None of you are wrong, okay? You're all right. All right. Huh? Sonia? I can't see prayer. Oh, I can hear it, yeah. All right, let me give you my two things, okay? So I can move on. All right, you're all more spiritual and more advanced in your theological studies than I am, obviously. I thought of just two things, and you're all right. I appreciate all of your answers. Why do I even ask sometimes? I don't know. Anyway, the Bible, yes. This is a spiritual book and a physical book. You can see it, touch it, right? You got one in your lap? Okay? It's physical, right? You open it up, there's pages, and there's print, and there's ink, and so. But it's a spiritual book also. But another very important one is the church, not the building. Okay? What makes up the church? You and I. Now, the word church comes from the Greek word, and I'm not big into Greek, but the word ekklesia means a called out assembly of believers. Okay, so when I look at the church, you know what I'm looking at? I'm looking at physical bodies. Some of you said that. I'm looking at physical people. I'm looking at your eyeballs. And when I look at your eyeballs, I'm looking at your soul. But the church is a physical, here on planet Earth, is a physical representation of the spiritual church that Jesus Christ is building right now. Every time somebody gets saved, they're added to the family of God, right? And so though that's a physical thing that we can see. So when we look at one another, we are looking at a spiritual body of believers, and it you and I make up the church. Again, it's not the building. Some people think it's the building. Some people think we're going to be building another church building. And we're going to build a building, but the church you and I to meet in. And for more people to come to so we can get more people saved and become part of the family of God. Right? That's the purpose. That's supposed to be the purpose of a church. Is to get people in so they can hear the gospel and be saved. Trust in Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection. That's the gospel. That's how somebody gets saved, is by putting their trust and faith in Christ, not the church. Not the Baptist church, Catholic church, or any other name in denomination. And so we have this physical stuff that we can see today, but it's also a spiritual thing. All right. I said all that to say this. How are we doing in the spiritual realm? How are you and I doing in the spiritual realm? Right now you might be doing okay, because the message is about the spiritual versus the physical. But most of us, when we leave here today, you're going out in a physical world. You're going to get in your physical vehicle, and you're going to drive down the road. You're going to go to your physical property, your physical house, and you're going to go into your physical house, and you're going to maybe eat some physical food, and you're going to sit in a physical chair, and you're going to do things around the house that maybe need to be done, or whatever the case may be. And you might come back tonight, and you might leave the physical and come back here to this. But we're so engrossed and focused on the physical that we fail to recognize the spiritual. We get up in the morning and all of a sudden phones are ringing, got to get to work, got responsibilities, family needs, work needs, whatever, and boom, we're thrust into the world out there, and it's a physical world. And so many Christians get up in the morning and they don't even crack the Bible open. Oh, I'm running late this morning. Oh, the alarm didn't go off. Or, oh, I hit the alarm too many times. Oh, I got to get to work. And, oh, the boss is calling. And so we're rushing off into the physical, and we've done nothing to the spiritual at all. And we've gone off without spending any time in God's Word. And maybe you threw up a fast prayer. Oh, God, bless me today. Goodbye. That may be what people say. Is, hello, God, I'm here, but I got to go. We spent very little time in prayer, very little time in the Bible. We haven't asked God to give us the wisdom that we need through the day. I'm not saying all of us do that. I'm just saying sometimes that happens. Sometimes we're forced out into the physical world, and we haven't even spent any time in the spiritual world. And then we get engrossed and overcome by the physical. Doctor's appointments, things that are going on in our life. Bad news we get from family members, things that are going on in the financial world, in our workplace. We get all worried about all these different things. And everything, like I said, that we worry about, it's all physical. I don't hear too many people worrying about the spiritual, because there's really nothing to worry about in the spiritual realm when you think about it. Jesus is on my side. I'm a conqueror through Him. He defeated the devil on the cross and through His resurrection. I have nothing to worry about. Really, you stop and think, I have nothing to worry about. You? What do you got to worry about? Somebody want to tell me what you worry about all the time? As a Bible believer, I don't even have to worry about if I'm saved tomorrow. Because I'm in Christ, according to Ephesians, all the time. According to John chapter 10, I'm in His hand. It's closed. And then there's another hand around the hand of Christ. And the Bible says, no man can get me out of the hand of God. No man can get us out. That means I can't lose my own salvation. I can't say, God, I'm sick and tired of this salvation and I just want out. I'm taking myself out. I can't do it. If you're truly born again, you don't want to do that anyway. And I'll tell you this, folks, the devil. You think the devil is more powerful than God? If God has you in his grip, do you think the devil can, I can do this. You think the devil has the power to pry the fingers back from God and go, bing? You think the devil is going to, you think God's going to allow that to take place? You know that God is more powerful than the devil. You know that that won't happen. So you don't have to worry about anything when it comes to our future. You know what? The Bible tells us that God has gone to prepare a place for us. Amen. John chapter 14, he calls it mansions, whatever's up there. I don't know. I can't explain it all. But I do believe what the Bible says. If he's going to make me a mansion up there or a place in there, whatever, hallelujah, I don't have to worry about it. I didn't tell, hey, God, I want to design my own mansion, please. I don't have to worry about it. He's got it all being made for me just the way he wants it for me. Right? I don't have to worry about that. All of, my job is to on this planet is to be as faithful as I can, obey God and read his word, pray, and do what God wants me to do. That's all I have to do. I don't have to worry about nothing. Yeah, but there's no yeah buts in there. Keep the yeah buts out. We put too many buts into our life anyway. This, you know, I'm putting it in. B-U-T. We put way too many yeah buts into our life. And we worry about things that we don't even have to worry about. We worry about our health. Hey, if you get sick and die, if you're saved, that's a win-win. I don't know what else to say. I'm just trying to be real. Yeah, but what if I get into an accident? Well, does God have control of your life or what? Do you have to worry about that? But I drive the thruway and there's crazy people out. Yeah, there's crazy people not on the thruway too. I go to Walmart and I'm walking through Walmart and there's crazy people around me. Man, you got a lot to worry about if you're just worried about crazy people. We could get ourselves in such a state of mind that we just worry about everything. And there's really nothing to worry about. We have, do you know how many spiritual blessings I wrote down? I haven't even got to any one of them yet. I got eternal life when I got saved. Eternal life. It's not temporary. I never see the word temporary in the Bible anywhere when it comes to eternal, right? We know that when we get saved, we have what? Eternal life, everlasting life. They're pretty close to meaning the same thing. Everlasting means from here until then, and eternal is from no beginning and no ending. We understand the theological definition between the words. But when you got saved, you got eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So many verses in the book of John says we have eternal life when we believe upon Jesus Christ. So when you got saved, you got eternal life. It's forever. Forever life. Isn't that a blessing? I have nothing to worry about in the future. Nothing. I have eternal life. When I got saved, I got forgiveness of sins. Praise God for that. Anybody in this room sin other than me? Is there anybody in this room that has ever sinned in the past? I'd say you have sinned. We got some kids in the room. Kids have sinned. Kids sin. Right? I was a kid. I sinned as a kid. Became an adult. I sinned as an adult. And I'm still an adult, somewhat. Still sin. I don't go out and commit things and do things, but I've got a brain here that's, as you know, there's not a whole lot there, but there's enough there to can have a bad thought once in a while. Anybody else in the room along with me here? Right? Sometimes we sin with our words and we don't maybe mean it. We say things we shouldn't. Not saying, you know, I don't curse. I don't think my kids have ever heard me say a curse word. I don't curse people out. I don't use curse words. but I could say something that's not very kind to somebody. You know, it's just the same as cursing. May not use that word or words, but when you're unkind to somebody and you say something you shouldn't say to somebody, gossiping, if you gossip about somebody or say something about somebody, that's a sin. Of course, we looked at that in Sunday school. We talked about lying in Sunday school. Lying? Yeah, lying. Liars. The Bible says, well, I'm changing a little bit. Liars will be friars. Right? What's the one thing that's going to be cast into the lake of fire is somebody that lied. How many lies does it take to be a liar? One lie. You ever told one lie in your life? One lie, just one. Well, it was just a little one. People use that. It was just a little lie. It was a white lie. Tell me where you find white lies and black lies in the Bible. I said black lies, not black lives. I said black lies. You don't find little lies or big lies, right? You don't find that in the Bible. There's no, God doesn't say it's okay to do this. It's okay to lie in this category, but this one over here is a big one and a bad one. This one will get you thrown into the lake of fire. No, it just says liars. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. If you're not saved, I'd get saved today. Because you're a liar. I have fellowship with God now that I didn't have before I was saved. Amen. Boy, it's sweet fellowship when you can talk to the Lord. Get up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord. How are you today? He said, well, I'm fine every day. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He looks at me and says, you're not always the same yesterday and today and forever, are you, Terry? I said, no, I'm not. But good morning, God. I try to every night when I go to sleep, when I got my head on the pillow, I try to tell God good night. I pray before I go to sleep. I said, Lord, it's me. You know who I am. God, please forgive me of my sins today. Please wash me clean and pure. God, and would you just do me a favor tonight? Would you just look over us as we sleep? You ever ask God to look over you while you sleep? Do you know when you go to sleep at night, you have no control over anything that happens in your household? Do you know you ought to ask God to watch over you during your sleeping hours? And then what I do is I say, God, could you watch over the building and watch over the house and just make sure everything is safe while I'm sleeping, because I can't do much when I'm sleeping. Ask God to give you some sweet dreams. Kathy had a dream the other night. She dreamed she brought a genie up. A genie. You know. Genie in a bottle. It just came. Her dreams are so entertaining. I'm telling you, she should write a book about her dreams. They mean absolutely nothing, but they're entertaining. I mean, every dream she has, there could be a TV show about her dreams. But the genie came around. And I said, what'd you ask the genie? She said, I never asked him anything. You got an opportunity here to ask the genie something. And you didn't ask the genie for nothing. No, she woke up or whatever the case may be. Here's a question for you. Don't answer me. I'm gonna finish. If you had one wish, what would it be? Do you ever think about that? I think stupid things sometimes because of my brain. But do you ever just think, if I had one wish, what would that one wish be? Just think about it. That's what God asked Solomon. Right? God asked Solomon, what can I do for you? What would you like? I'll give you anything you want. Anything you want. Anything at all. He said, well, he thought. He says, God, you have placed me over these people. And my father David is no longer here, and I gotta run these people. I gotta control these people. I gotta rule over these people, God. What I need is wisdom. What I need is an understanding heart. What I need is knowledge, God. And you know the rest of the story, what God did for him. I have to ask that all the time. I don't ask it just once during the day. I have to ask it throughout the day. God, I need some wisdom. God, I need an understanding heart. God, I need some knowledge here. We have a sweet fellowship with God that we didn't have before. We have become part of God's family. I'll close with this one verse and then I'll pray and we'll be done. John chapter 1. John 1. John 1 and verse 12. John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." When you trusted Christ as your Savior and you believed upon his name and you called upon him to save your soul, what did he make you? He made you his son. Ma'am, he made you his daughter, let's say. Right? We are now part of the family of God. God has become my father. Who was your father before you got saved, according to John chapter 8? The devil, Satan, Lucifer, was your father. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are adopted out of one family and placed into another family. You are removed from the family of the devil and placed into the family of God. Through an adoption process that was not a physical adoption, but a spiritual adoption. And now we're part of the family of God. Before that, you were part of the family of the devil. The question has always been, which family would you prefer? The family of the devil, where Satan is your father, or the family of God, where God is your father? Do you know that every human being has to make that choice? Right? When it comes to being saved or not, if you don't get saved, you're part of the family of the devil. You were born into the family of the devil upon your natural birth as a sinner. You get adopted out of the family of the devil and placed into the family of God when you get born again, spiritually born again. Doesn't that make sense? It is such a blessing to be part of the family of God. And all the saved people in this room or people listening to us online that are saved, they're part of the family of God. And now God is my Father. I have nothing to worry about with God as my Father. Amen. Not a thing. Preacher, where are you going to get all that money to build that building? I have no clue. God's my Father. My Father's pretty rich. He made the universe. He made this earth. He made everything that's in it. He made all the gold and all the stuff that's out there. He made it all. Can he take care of us? Sure he can. He can. Can he take care of you? What are you worrying about? What are you worrying about? If God can take care of you, what are you worrying about? Father, thank you, Lord, again for the message today. I know I rambled. Lord, I pray that you'd use the message to speak to our hearts about the spiritual things in life versus the physical. Lord, there might be some people in this room that's struggling with the physical and just concerned and worried about so many different things. Lord, I pray that all of us, through the working, the power of the Holy Spirit, would make us see that the spiritual far outweighs the physical. That the spiritual, the birth that we were given by you, being born again, places us into a spiritual world, into a spiritual realm that we did not know before. The only thing we knew before salvation was the physical. But now, as a Christian, we are now in a spiritual world. Lord, help us to see that. Help us to focus on that more than the physical. Lord, I know that we live in a physical world, and Lord, we have to work in a physical world. We have to shop in a physical world. We have to live in this physical world. We understand that. We all understand that. But Lord, we shouldn't be so concerned about the physical that we overlook the spiritual. Help us, Lord, with this message. Help us, Lord, to live our lives in a spiritual realm. And Father, I pray that if there's anybody here today that's not saved, that they would be saved before they leave this place today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We will have an invitation. Simply means that if you need to come forward for anything at all, you can come. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, we'll be glad to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Are you struggling with the physical? Is the physical far more important than the spiritual in your life? Maybe you need to talk to the Lord and say, Lord, help me with this. I'm so overwhelmed with the physical things of this world, my job and my family and my physical and my financial life.